professional wrestler and former Ring of Honor Pure Wrestling champion, Hurricane John Walters.
What's going on, guys? This is Supermex Hernandez, a.k.a. Hot Stuff Hernandez, listening to the ROH Review.
Hello, and welcome to the ROH Review, episode 22. I am three-time pro wrestling author Oliver Newman.
And I'm pro wrestling journalist Stephen Jackson.
Hey! How you doing today, Stephen?
Yeah, not too bad. It's sunny outside. Well, almost sunny. It's a bit darker now. We're still in second week of coronavirus lockdown central. But yeah, it's interesting. But we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, which I'm looking forward to on this show. And had a good week. It's been a long week, but it's been a good week. How about yourself, Oliver?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just stop-start, isn't it, really? But from an isolation and a lockdown perspective, just keep yourselves safe and well. That's the most important thing, really. And understand me and Stephen will be here, or one of us will be here at the very least, every week bringing you the ROH Review. Well, we missed a couple of times and it was just solo stuff, wasn't it? So, yeah. I don't know if you guys are and girls are aware of this, but we've hit Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook with quick sneak previews of tonight's show. So if you've watched them, you'll know what's going to happen tonight. If you haven't, you've tuned in. So thank you very much for that. We're going to just change up the format a little bit and introduce a couple of things Spruce related, which I think you'll like. The star spotlight's gone on the back burner, which we will tell you why later on in the show. That's what I was going. And let's throw it over to Stephen for something that he's never done before. How's that for a cliffhanger?
I know. Until 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, so, cliffhanger.
Everybody. Our first segment tonight is a Future of Honor match between Ring of Honor Pro Wrestling Dojo graduate and original Cheeseburger against the prodigy Justin Taylor, who is also recently been interviewed by our partners at bbgwrestling.com and BBG Wrestling Pod, Chris Lappin. So the Future of Honor match we'll be talking about is Cheeseburger versus Justin Taylor.
Okay, and he likes to be called the living proof, but you know, bloopers. this match we don't have Joe Dombrowski on commentary, which is always something we look forward to, but on the plus side of that, Ian Riccoboni's on commentary, and we like him, so that's good. Looking at views, because we do this with the Women of Honor, 5,600 views. Cheeseburger chance, he was really loved in this match.
The
fans loved him. Taylor doesn't like streamers. He's like pulling them apart and stuff. The crowd, which like we say put it in the dojo and stuff, but the crowd was really helping the match.
Yeah.
Really cool venue. Like standing room, like a beautiful visual. Yeah. Like in the background that they had to stand up because all the seats were taken.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. Beautiful rolling DDT by Taylor. Love that move. Love Cheeseburger's athleticism. This was a really good showcase match for him.
Yeah.
Including the springboard senton. Deadlift Falcon Arrow from Taylor, which was extraordinary. He missed the split-legged moonsault and got caught with a double stomp. But yeah, this was really good. Across the board. We usually prefer it in the dojo, but I think the crowd really helped the match. And Stephen mentioned, Chris Lappin had an interview with Justin Taylor, and we will put a link in somewhere for you to be able to check that out on SoundCloud for BBGW Pod. So yeah, those are my thoughts, Stephen. What did you make of the match?
I thought it was great, and I mean, like you said, the the sight of the audience and the actual arena, the venue, I thought looked brilliant. That visual of the hard cam and where it was set, I think it looked great. Yeah. I think it was Texas, they said on commentary, actually. So
San Antonio, which is Justin Taylor's hometown.
Yeah. So that makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thought they were really, both had a really good, strong match. Justin Taylor reminded me a lot of John Davis from the Dark City Fight Club.
Yeah.
In his attire and his look. Like you said, Falcon Arrow was crazy. Like that move in itself's awesome, but that looked awesome. Yeah. Cheeseburger, the crowd were loving him, chanting blue cheese and going crazy for him. The crowd just love him wherever he goes.
That is the best I've seen Cheeseburger look in the very few matches I've seen of his.
Yeah. Really I think that was a really good showcase for him. Definitely. And the ending of the double stomp and the not just the ending, but the leapfrog he did and the just Jushin Thunder Liger. I can't remember what the chop's called. I always forget the name of it.
Shotai, maybe?
Shotai, yeah. Shotai chop, yeah. I think it is. Yeah, great. And the Code of Honor was followed as well. We saw the Code of Honor being adhered to as well, which I didn't expect to happen, actually. But I do always like it when they do bring that little bit of history back into it. So
Absolutely. Really
enjoyed this. I thought this was excellent stuff.
Yeah. It's one of the best Future of Honor matches we've seen so far, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yours truly picked that one, ladies and gents. but yeah, we have to interrupt this segment with some breaking news. And yeah, we've been looking on our trusty ROH app this week, and we have some news to discuss. So the top five outstanding matches, Stephen, we've covered them on the show in some way, shape or form. Ones that jump out at me are what we titled one of our shows, can't tell you the episode number. Alex Shelley and Mark Haskins tore up the house, didn't they?
Yeah.
Then we had the Briscoes against Mexa Blood, which was also a title of a show.
Yeah.
We had two guys, one tag against Jonathan Gresham and Jay Lethal, which was last week's episode. Titled the show, so we've nailed all the our show titles, and we kind of know what is good wrestling, I think, based on that. So three out of the five so far we've titled our shows with PCO and Dragon Lee, which was the main events of Bound by Honor. The number one match was the best booking decision ROH has made in ages. Between Mexi Squad, but they weren't called that at the time.
Yeah.
Demeter, Bandido, and Rey Harus against Villain Enterprises from Saturday Night Center Stage, and the changing of the ROH World Six-Man Tag Team Titles with, like I said, best booking decision of 2020 and probably in ROH for a long time.
I've really
ran through those matches at a breakneck speed, Stephen, but is there anything you'd like to mention about those matches in particular?
All five matches. All five matches, because I think about six-man tag, were fantastic. They all are matches which we and Oliver have covered considerably on the show several times. They're matches what all stood out to us when we saw them the first time. And when we saw them again, either on the TV show or when we've reviewed them again, matches you need to go out of your way to see. If there's any reason why to get a subscription to the Honor Club or to check these shows out or to check these matches out, this is the reason. You know, we've said our reasons for it, and this article kind of sort of cemented it in a way. You know, they were just all fantastic. And I like how it was a mixture of singles matches, tag matches, title matches, non-title matches, a real variety with a lot of different talent. So definitely go out your way and watch them.
I think the best thing about it was you couldn't really take any of those matches out. Like, they hadn't just put a random five matches from Ring of Honor in 2020. Those are some of the best matches that you'll see this year in Ring of Honor. So definitely, they were outstanding matches, and we are living proof of that. Yeah. You see what I did there? Yeah, that was good. Next up in the news, which is something that I thought would go against us, but I don't think it actually does, is the $9.99 a month Honor Club membership now includes everything. But we've paid for VIP, which was $119.99. So I think that it adds up to about the same. So I don't think we lose out on that, which I thought we did beforehand. Everything's available, pay-per-views, shows, the archive, etc. And for everyone, really, I don't think we lose out because it's $9.99 and stuff. I'm not sure of any VIP Honor Club members who are up in arms. You happy with this, Stephen?
Yeah, definitely. The value for the Honor Club, regardless if you're, as we are, fans of Ring of Honor, and the content is, you know, enough to justify me paying for the subscription.
Yeah.
And, you know, if there's any extra deals or any extra sort of incentives for me to stay with the Honor Club, then I'm all for it. You know, it's all good in my book.
Yeah. Well, great. Like we've mentioned before, April, May, and it's three of the months get added. Yeah, April, May, and June, those 3 months get added to your subscription at the end.
Yeah.
I think you've got to check that out on the computer, though. So I haven't checked it out to see if that's the case yet. But that probably helps the VIP members as much as it helps just the Honor Club members themselves.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure if we talked about this on last week's show, but 2010 has been uploaded, some of the shows, to the Honor Club, the events and the matches themselves. So if anyone wanted to click through and just pick out Generation Me against Kings of Wrestling, for example, you can go straight to that match, click it on, and you don't have to sift through the whole show.
Yeah,
which is really good. You've got to be happy about that feature, haven't you?
Absolutely. 2000. I mean, as I've said on the show before, and I've said when we did the specials, which led into this review show we do together, 2010. Yeah. Great year of Ring of Honor history. It's a year which gets very overlooked by a lot of fans, but it's a year which had a lot of phenomenal matches and feuds and great overall shows. I mean, there are some great shows in 2010 which are now available for people to see for the first time since they were released on DVD. So, and then out of print. So it's win-win.
Yeah. And absolutely. For the eagle-eyed among you who have seen those sneak preview Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook lives, you will know that one of the matches from 2010, from Salvation 2010, is our throwback match for tonight. You can get access to that match and the entire show on Honor Club, and you can watch the match that we're going to be talking about for free on YouTube. So, that's us promoting both your YouTube channel and your Honor Club Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. So next up is the Bracket of Honor Final Four. We have Samoa Joe versus Bryan Danielson and Jay Lethal against CM Punk. For myself, I picked a Bryan Punk final. How did you see this going, Stephen?
Oh, it's a tough one. Joe versus Danielson is a really tough one. I think if I had to look at it from a historical perspective, I'd have to pick Samoa Joe just because of what he meant to the company.
Mm-hmm.
And in the similar vein with Jay Lethal and CM Punk, I'd have to pick CM Punk. So I'd go for a Joe Punk final.
I had a feeling it was going to go that way. I was like, he's going to pick, he wants to see Joe versus Punk again, doesn't he?
All four wrestlers deserve to be in that final four. They all contributed incredibly to the company and, you know, through the entire history of the company from its early beginnings to now. So I think that's what's amazing about it is from start to finish, you can look at how it's evolved.
Absolutely.
It's exciting.
Yeah, and ROH has released an ROH Strong T-shirt with all proceeds going to the Salvation Army. This is a really nice touch by ROH, the ROH Cares hashtag Stephen coming into effect here. Yeah. We're happy about this, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, anything, especially during these times of what we're in at the moment with COVID-19 and, you know, funds being needed for, you know, everybody in every industry, and the fact that Ring of Honor are still upkeeping that philanthropy with, you know, with the public, I think shows a lot of them as a company. So, yeah, nothing negative to say at all. I think it's a really good thing. Well, it's a really pleased by it. So, yeah, really pleased.
Yeah, and the last news item is a blog that was written by one of Stephen's many favourite wrestlers, Matt Taven, and this is the Word of Honour, and it's available on the ROH app. It's a really long read, but it's from one of the probably most important figures of the last five years, maybe, Stephen, for yourself. So give that a read, and yeah, that's all the news for this week.
Just to interject there, Oliver, we just want to let everyone know, all our listeners know, about our partnership with powerslam.tv. They offer over 6,500 hours of content from over 150 promotions from over 20 countries around the world. And if you're able to get a month's free subscription on us for free using the code BROKENFREE.
And since we produced this advertisement, they actually produced 7,000 hours of professional wrestling.
Oh, wow.
I know, yeah. That's it. Fantastic. So, yeah, next up is me trying to work on my ring announcing chops like Stephen did for the Future of Honor match. So, ladies and gentlemen, the next match is a Women of Honor match, and it is between the House of Truths, Taylor Hendricks with Truth Martini against ODB.
Really enjoyed this. Great to see ODB, who's a former TNA knockout, getting a good shot in Ring of Honor as part of the Women of Honor. Love Taylor Hendricks when she was in the company. I've seen a lot of her work back in, you know, the time when she was in the company. She was fantastic.
Yeah.
Great female wrestler. Great chemistry with ODB. Great charisma. And great chemistry with Truth Martini as well. I mean, the House of Truth. I mean, when we talk about great stables, like what we talked with Brian Zane, the House of Truth was such a great stable. And Truth Martini, just one of the best managers. You know, this whole match was really, really fun. It was silly in parts. But there was some really, I mean, there were some really strong strikes. There was some really inventive use of, I liked it when she took a swig of hip flask as well, ODB, little bits like that.
That's kind of like her Popeye the Sailor Man spinning stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. And also it was cool to hear a very young and a very sort of picking his, getting his momentum going, Ian Riccaboni on commentary with BJ Whitmer. And BJ Whitmer as well was great on commentary. I really liked BJ Whitmer. And a great crowd again. Crowd were really hot for this thing. This was in Nashville at the auditorium, which was all TNA stomping ground, I think, if I'm correct.
Oh, okay.
I think it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really fun, really inventive. So really enjoyed this.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go from a different perspective. Nah. Yeah. 76,000 views. And after watching the match, I kind of know why.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you've mentioned about the commentary team. Truth Martini is brilliant trainer and a great manager and should still be part of the company.
Yeah.
He's just a breath of fresh air. So I reckon the reason for these 76,000 views is because this was quite a sexualized match. So for all the perverts out there, I think you'll enjoy this one. But from a serious aspect, this is still a really, really good match. Beautiful cartwheel forearm by Taylor Hendricks, which shows, you know, her agility to the nines, basically. It was a fantastic maneuver. Excuse me. And then she had Austin Aries submission. I couldn't remember at the time. What
the the Last Chancery.
Last Chancery, that's it. Yeah, so she performed the Last Chancery as well. And yeah, like I said, very, very sexualized. So, you know, women's boobs and kissing each other and, you know, basically, yeah, if you want that in a wrestling match, you kind of had it from this. But yeah, Truth Martini gets involved and it's just, yeah, just does exactly what it needs to do. And the 76,000, you know, views show that there is a place in wrestling for diva-like action inside of a wrestling match, which are the best way to describe this match. So probably not the greatest Women of Honor match in terms of technique and a beautifully wrestled match, which we have seen in other matches. But for just a fun, you know, a fun match from bell to bell with those elements that I've already discussed, this might be worth checking out, really. Yeah. So,
and now, again, in the right context, I will introduce tonight's main event. The main event is in the main reason we do the show, not our main event, but the main reason we do our show.
I can appreciate that. That was good.
Which is tonight's, which is the Briscoes Spotlight, which is the Ring of Honor TV special, which will be shown, hence why the star spotlights have been put on the back burner, because Ring of Honor are deciding.
It's all our idea.
They did.
Let's just tell the fans and the listeners and the viewers how it is.
They did.
They tuned into the Ring of Honor review. They heard of the star spotlight and they stole our idea.
Again.
Yes.
So the star spotlight this week, as we've both mentioned, is the Briscoe Brothers. A great show overall. The show started out with a great documentary look at the Briscoes' upbringing. And a lot of this footage as well was new to me, in the sense that I'd heard some bits from interviews and I'd heard some bits from sort of documentaries I'd watched what Ring of Honor had produced previously. But seeing this from a new perspective and sort of 2020 was really interesting. And seeing the barbed wire bats and the barbed wire still on the estate was bizarre. Still yeah. There, it won't go.
Absolutely.
And the chickens are still there in the farm. Yeah. So I'll also introduce our first match from the show, which was from back in Driven 2007 on pay-per-view. It was the Briscoes brothers, who were the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions at the time, taking on the challengers and longtime rivals, Kevin Steen and El Generico. And take it away, Oliver.
Yeah, just quickly going back into the documentary, just shows their love for professional wrestling. And in terms of, you know, doing wrestling moves and matches and stuff, made me think of my childhood with my brother. And we didn't use barbed wire bats.
I'm about to say that,
we weren't that crazy, but I do remember four poster beds and power bombs and stuff, and I still got all the scars. So don't try this at home, kids. Going to the match, which you didn't really ring announce, Steve, and that was more of an introduction of the match, as opposed to your world-famous ring announcing. See? More fun. love this version of the Briscoes. Like, 2000... probably 2006. Yeah. Unified, kind of. This version of the Briscoes, for me, not even thinking about other tag teams, but this could have been the best tag team in the world, Briscoes, because they were on point. This is great tag team wrestling. In ring, then Generico's dumped in the crowd, like flies five rows back into a bunch of chairs. And it's like, okay, business has picked up, as JR would say. One of the Briscoes follows in the same kind of format. I believe it was Jay, but Steen did one of his finishing moves and basically threw Jay the same distance, which just showed how they can, you know, switch things up. love the Sting Generico dynamic. I talked about it in my, you know, my third book when I was in the Orlando double shot. Just love the fact that Sting is the boss and Generico is somebody he tags with. Pretty much like Dalton Castle and Joe Hendry. You know, springboard twisting top rope moonsault by Generico. That was a thing of beauty. The fans are on the feet, as you would imagine, in Chicago. ROH chance, Spike J Driller, and an end to a great match. Briscoes at this point could go in there, like as what's been said about Ric Flair and Bret Hart and et al., basically. I think they could go in there with two brooms and have a five-star match because they were just on another level. They could wrestle with you. They could fight with you. They could fly with you. They were just so, so amazing at that time. And first time watching this match, and as you can probably tell from my voice and how enthusiastic I am over the video as well, this was superb. And I was so grateful of the Star Spotlight because it brought it to my attention. Brilliant match. What did you make of it, Stephen?
This is phenomenal. This is, if anyone's listened to my top five Ring of Honor tag teams with yourself and Chris, you'll know how much I love the Briscoes. This feud, the full feud, was phenomenal. There are select matches which stick with me as a fan. This is one of them. This was on pay-per-view, taped pay-per-view, but if you wanted to see at the time why the Briscoes and Sting and Jericho were good or so good, this is why you need to see this match.
Yeah.
Just like you said, the dynamic between all four guys, the crowd, the interaction between, the intensity between Jay and Kevin Steen was something else. The daredevil aspect of both Mark and Mark Briscoe and El Generico.
Yeah.
The fact that they were going out there and they were just wrestling, but innovating this tag team wrestling. This was like new kind of wrestling. It was just unbelievable stuff. And just loved it. I loved it back then. I love watching it again and again. It's sensational. You need to go and it's for there for free. Watch it and then watch the rest of the stuff, what they did. This is just a taster to how good these guys were. This is a taster. This is the thing. This is not the best stuff they did. This is getting to the best stuff they did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. I'll have to check that out. So going into the next segment, documentary-wise, they were sitting on the ring apron and talking of the brotherly feud. And this was really cool. Throwback to the era of honor between Jay Briscoe and Amazing Red. Mark's cockiness to the leading into the brother versus brother match at Honor Invades Boston. The rematch of that match at the first anniversary show. The rematch of that match at the Liverpool double shot that I was a part of in 2007. And then that brings you into this match, which was match four in the series between the two brothers. So, ladies and gentlemen, from ROH Best in the World 2013, this is a brother versus brother ROH World Title match. Mark Briscoe versus Jay Briscoe. Take it away, Stephen.
Yeah, this was a time when Ring of Honor, for the most part, had kind of gone off the radar a little bit with some fans, where people were being critical of the Sinclair relationship and the Sinclair Broadcasting Group buyout. But, you know, this thing, it's not, I will admit, it's not the best match the brothers have had with one another. It's nowhere near as good as the previous matches, but they still put everything into this thing. And I think, if I'm correct, this may be the first time that the Ring of Honor World Championship was fought between two brothers, and it might be the first time that two brothers have main evented a pay-per-view, possibly, because I don't think Bret and Owen actually ever did that as actual brothers, if I'm correct. If I'm right. That might need to be looked into more detail.
Stephen trying to prove his ROH expertise there, ladies and gentlemen.
But, yeah, I love this thing. The crowd were really hot. I mean, the family dynamic in the that period of time, the whole storyline of Papa Briscoe being there, that came from Supercard of Honor. If people have seen that show and they understand what led to this match. Nigel McGuinness and Kevin Kelly were phenomenal on commentary. You know, great partners. They just played off one another greatly. And, you know, the Froggy Bow from Mark onto Jay, the Jay Drillers, the throw what Jay delivered to Mark off the top turnbuckle to the floor.
Yes.
Even though it was on the mats, was still vicious. I don't care what anyone says. That is a scary spot.
Yeah. It's like PCO nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This was a great world title match, and although it may not have lived up to the expectations of what the bar they set so highly years before, it still delivered in spades. And it was a ton of fun. So how about yourself, Oliver? Did you enjoy this or... No,
I'm calling you out for this, Stephen. To be fair, I'm not sure how to approach this because I'm very positive, but I think you might be biased towards ROH with your opinion on this match. Yeah. This is the weakest of the Briscoe matches. In terms of my notes, J Mark Chance. I don't know the backstory. I was a lapsed ROH fan at the time, so this is me with fresh eyes watching it for the first time. Jay and Mark Chance, Battle for Respect, the Power Slam off the top rope, which is what you mentioned. Fight over the table, which they set up together. That was weird.
Weird, yeah, it was
weird. The fans are chanting, "This is awesome," and I'm wondering what match they're watching. I know, I'm not negative, but I hear all the negatives. Nice call. Okay, I'll bring some positivity to it. Nice callback with the cutthroat driver.
Yeah.
Because that ended the Honor Invades Boston match, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a two count. The Jay Driller was a two count. Second Jay Driller was a one count, which was crazy. Three Jay Drillers in a row ends the match. So... this wasn't my kind of match. To throw in as well the Japanese influence of the 5 million kickouts isn't how I like my matches ended. You do a finishing move, you do a super finishing move, and then it's done for me. I just think from reading stuff more so than tuning in that. Jay Briscoe, along with Jay Lethal during this time, were ROH world champions because there wasn't that many people in front of them. And that might sound disrespectful, but I think it's true. And it's not to take away from their ability because they're both incredibly gifted athletes. I just think that they reach this level because of there not being too many above them. I think in this match I was kind of... I knew what the result would be because I know Mark hasn't been the champion. And, yeah, just disappointing, really. Loved the three matches before. I'm sure we would love the past versus present match if that had taken place as well. But then... this match kind of, and I'm being really negative, this match kind of shows where the Briscoes are now to how they were in 2007. If this match for the ROH world title had have taken place in 2007 with the way they were then, this had been a match of the year.
Yeah.
Because they were so good and they produced that in Liverpool, like I mentioned. And that's the Briscoes I want to see. Wrestle each other and wrestle for a world title. We didn't see it in this match. And I didn't enjoy this one. I have to be completely honest.
Probably the first time we disagreed.
Yeah. Like I said, I think that there is a biasness towards stuff, but I think if you don't like something, you have to be brave enough and courageous to call it out. And yeah, this match just wasn't the best one of the series by a long shot. This is the weakest of the four.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because, you know, I spent time with Mark and Jay Briscoe, as part of the Liverpool double shot, like I said, with my books and stuff. And they're really, really cool guys. And I love their wrestling. I just think, and they'll go into the ROH Hall of Fame, and they are one of the greatest tag teams of all time. Like I said, with the tag team match, and I'm going on tangents now, but them wrestling this match in 2007 for the ROH World Title would have been amazing. They did it in Liverpool. It was a draw. It was incredible. And just didn't do it for me. But like I said, you can appreciate and respect the athletes and what they do. I just didn't enjoy the match.
Yeah.
And you can kind of see why people are lapsed fans from that time.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's to do with Sinclair either. I just think the product at that time, even on TV, I'm being incredibly negative towards this match. Even on TV, I don't think this was a great TV match.
No.
So, yeah. Damn you, Stephen. I'm going to make you talk negative about one of the matches. I'm just going to have to pick out something you hate. Something involving Bully Ray, probably next week.
Yeah, anything.
Yeah. So,
both at the same time.
I know. It's when we finish each other's sentences that people will get scared, though, Stephen.
Yeah. So that leads into my promoting of, if people have listened to the show before or are tuning in, as I mentioned at the start of the show, I'm a pro wrestling journalist. I write regularly and contribute regularly to The Wrestling Estate. You can find us on Twitter at The Wrestling EST. My most recent article was an interview with New Zealand wrestler Will Power. So definitely check that out if you get time. And I've also written extensively on former Ring of Honor alumni and New Japan pro wrestling legend Jushin Thunder Liger as well. So check out that article. And if you want to find out more about The Wrestling Estate, you can also check out the website, which is www.thewrestlingestate.com, where we cover WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, New Japan. We have a monthly newsletter which you can sign up for, and each week we have a weekly roundtable which each of the team members take part in, and we all answer a series of questions which are sent through and then published. So check us out.
Yeah. So next up, we have our ROH throwback. I was going to let you do this, Stephen, but yeah, this is how we did it.
You, Oliver.
Yeah, yeah. This match is for the ROH World Title from ROH Salvation 2010, and it is between Kevin Steen and ROH champion Tyler Black. Take it away, Stephen.
Absolutely brilliant match. Back in 2010, when I saw this for the first time, loved it. Watched it again for the show. Loved it. Both guys recently, as Oliver will mention more in detail, wrestled this weekend. Haven't missed a step. Both guys were heels at the time as well. They were not beloved extensively by the Ring of Honor fan base, and this kind of played into the match. And Steen, if anyone followed his work at that time in Ring of Honor, was on an absolute tear and a rampage. And the viciousness and the heel dynamic, which he was just absolutely disgusting. He was just horrible. He just took it to another level in terms of how he dealt with his opponents. And Tyler Black, who became Seth Rollins, just one of a kind athlete. The stuff what he did and he can do in the ring was unbelievable back then. And to say that this match took place 10 years ago and he was that good 10 years ago, and this was about a year, I think, before I started in Florida's Championship Wrestling, so FCW. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because he was a few months later, he was approached by WWE.
Yeah.
Just incredible talent. One of the most underrated Ring of Honor champions of all time. I can understand why he is, and he's not appreciated how he is. But this performance as a champion was one of those classic Ring of Honor, for me, one of those classic Ring of Honor world title matches in Chicago once again. Molten hot crowd. Excellent dynamic between the two of them. Great storyline progression. If you see the storyline between both wrestlers, loved it. How about yourself, Oliver, as it was first time viewing this one?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I mentioned before, this is available on YouTube for free, or it's on Honor Club again, full show. So be sure to check out YouTube and sign up for Honor Club. I watched the pre-match promos. I didn't think much of Tyler Black's one. You could understand he was trying to find his interview chops at the time.
Yeah.
And one of the things that kind of held him back, and like, you're going to be a WWE jobber and stuff, was him talking. But if you don't talk over time, you're not going to get better. And obviously he has become better. Like you mentioned, it was an absolutely brilliant Kevin Steen promo. Like, I had to turn the TV down because he was shouting that loudly. Yeah. But, yeah, that was fantastic. Joe Dombrowski on commentary. I think you really feel the urgency with him. He's really good at, like, getting across the urgency of the match. So, he was brilliant. Bloody and brutal battle. So this isn't for the weak at heart, and probably not for the kids out there. Sorry if you're tuning in. Both men busted open. Great intensity. The roles of each man were reversed in this match. So Steen is the holier than thou guy, and Tyler Black is the fighting from underneath kind of guy, even though he's the champion.
Yeah.
The double stomp through the table was fantastic. He flipped over and did the double stomp. I was trying to figure out which match that was in. It was like, was it in the cheeseburger match? Was it in the Briscoes Steen Generico match? Or was it in this one? And it was in this one. Tyler Black, as an athlete, was on a different level. Not sure if he's put on more mass since then. Probably has.
Yeah, I think he has.
But like, he was doing backflips off of, you know, big guys. I remember seeing it on an indie show, and that's probably what introduced me to him. But yeah, different level. The moves he could do. God's Last Gift.
Yes.
Hopefully I got that right out of time. Which is a package pile driver, power bomb kind of thing.
Yeah.
And fantastic. The package pile driver got a two count, but it was so close.
Yeah.
Like, really close. So that was a brilliant near fall. And yeah, I was just thinking watching this match, this is like watching Bret Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin from WrestleMania 13. And I think the feud has been that way, both in ROH and the WWE. So Rollins is Hart and Steen is Austin.
Yeah.
And he passes out to the, well, he didn't pass out. He taps out to the sharpshooter. So that makes sense that way. And so I would just say on this match, it isn't my favorite kind of match. I really love my technical wrestling. And I guess from like the actual title of the show, Salvation, Steen is trying to be the salvation of Tyler Black, isn't he? Pretty much promo stuff. So I was like, that's a really cool title. I love it when things like make sense and stuff. Not my favorite kind of match, because I really do love my technical wrestling, but could, you know, obviously the urgency's there, the intensity's there. It's an ROH world title match. I'm watching as a lapsed fan who checked out in 2009. I think Tyler Black got the hate because he didn't win the title until after he should have. Kevin Steen probably should have took the title now, because from the pre-match promo, he's on fire. And it took him a short while after to get the title. Yeah. It took another three years, wasn't it?
Two or three years, yeah.
Border Wars against Davey Richards, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he should have had this title in 2010 because he was molten. Just to talk about what I've been basically promoting the whole show.
Yeah.
I'm a free-time pro wrestling author. My first book is a fan's perspective, one man's exploration of British wrestling. I've mentioned different things during the show. I was at ROH Unified in August 2006 in Liverpool. I was at the Liverpool Double Shot in 2007, the same hotel as the ROH wrestlers as well. That's where I talked about Mark and Jay Briscoe. Met ring announcer Bobby Cruz for the first time after interviewing him days before as well. So hopefully that's enough of a hook for you to get to buy the book. I know I'm a poet and I do know it. Yeah. Next book is A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE. We've kind of crossed over to WWE with Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. So they're in this book. And so is the debut of AJ Styles, Samoa Joe. Yeah, anyone that's been ROH alumni is probably in this book in some way, shape or form, showing ROH has got blueprints all over the wrestling world, including WWE. And lastly, another book I mentioned briefly, Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. I talked about the Orlando Double Shot because I said seen Steen and Generico for the first time in an incredible match against two Dragon Gate guys. Nigel McGuinness against Austin Aries was an incredible world title match. Briscoe's against the Age of the Fall is another one that comes to mind.
Roderick Strong and Eric Stevens.
Eric Stevens, yeah, that was fantastic. Stevens been reading his books. Well, this book, really. And yeah, just a lot.
Dragon Gate six man as well. Yeah,
Dragon Gate six, was that against ROH wrestlers this time around? Maybe
no, the main event of Supercard of Honor 3 was
So Dragon Gate six man again, I was lucky enough to be at that show too. And I was at WrestleMania 24 because that was all part of the thing. And I was at really a lot of wrestling shows in a week, probably I think six in 5 days, and that took its toll. I was at Raw, I was at WrestleMania, I was at two ROH shows, I was at a local indie Florida show as well. Hopefully that's enough of a hook. Again, I took ROH alumni, my modern day favorite wrestler, Paul London, to the World Heavyweight title in the main event of WrestleMania via fantasy booking. And you can see how I did that. And hopefully you agree with my booking and feel free to give feedback and stuff. So all three books are available on Amazon, on paperback and Kindle, free on Kindle Unlimited. You can get them signed on my Big Cartel, fansperspective.bigcartel.com, sorry. They are in store in Pro Wrestling Cartel in Birmingham, UK, but not currently because of the coronavirus. And hope you enjoy reading us. Now we've got a lot of time on our hands, and hopefully they keep you busy like they have been, Stephen.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Lots of reading time, lots of wrestling time, lots of
exactly just the way
reviewing
we like
time.
It.
Exactly. And just to finish off for the for this week, I just want to give you all our links and plugs as per. So we're a partner of the Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast Network. So you can find them on Twitter at BBGWPod. You can find their website at brokenbutglorious.com. You can find the main hub at BBG Wrestling on Twitter. And ourselves, you can find us on various social media. You can find us on Twitter, at The ROH Review, on Instagram, at The ROH Review. YouTube is some weird thing we can't do, so we have to do Scott Hall Spooky Fingers till we work out how to get it otherwise. Facebook is ROH Review 2019, as that's when the Ring of Honor review was arrived to the world.
Established.
And finally, you can email us with any comments, any feedback, any suggestions, anything at our email address, which is rohreview@outlook.com. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that wraps up this week, Oliver. If there's anything else you'd like to add.
Yeah, just another couple of quick things. We've recently joined ROH World Pro PW Ponderings We bring content to them. We're looking at bringing exclusive content to them. And yeah, thank you very much for BBG Wrestling for sending out our press release, to ROH World for sending out a press release too. I'm not sure if it's on PW Ponderings. And of course, a big thanks to Pro Wrestling Between the Sheets, Bob McGee, for sending out a press release too. That's another thing that we've implemented as of last week's show. That went with ROH Review 21. It also went out with my interview with Hot Stuff, one of the one half of the best tag team of the new millennium, LAX, Hernandez. That interview is available on audio and video on, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's available on the SoundCloud.com/BBGWpod. It's available on ROH World Pro Wrestling Ponderings as well. Press releases have been sent out as well. And yeah, like Stephen said, links and plugs out the way, just finishing up. Those are the things that we've done. Our Wedge Review episode 23 is next week. We're looking at another concept, but me and Stephen need to talk about that more off air. And hopefully we have another interview this weekend. Excuse me. And yeah, all that's left to say is thank you very much for listening or tuning in on YouTube. Stay safe and well, and just know you'll get your ROH review fix on a weekly basis. And like I said, Stephen gave all the socials and the email. If you know, let's hear what you think about the new format. We've had more fun tonight. I'm sure that's the case, Stephen.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so it's been more fun for us. Hopefully it's been more fun for you too, and hopefully you've enjoyed the ROH review. And yeah, not sure what's happening because of isolation and lockdowns giving us more time on our hands, so we're thinking about doing new things. But we will be back with something ROH related in the very near future, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So until then, I'm Free Time Pro Wrestling author Oliver Newman.
I'm pro wrestling journalist Stephen Jackson.
And this is us signing off. Bye for now.
See you later, everyone.
Bye.
See ya.